This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
All right, joining me now, Talk Radio 1210 WPHC on the Rich Cioli Show. Dan Albin is a senior attorney with the Institute for Justice. And, of course, you know I'm a big fan of the Institute for Justice. They fight for freedom and liberty, and they have been on the front lines of fighting against this unconstitutional civil asset forfeiture, especially right here in Philadelphia. But this case, Dan, for this we got to go a little bit north to Pittsburgh. Welcome back to the show, Dan.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
So this Pittsburgh retiree, she saves money, her whole life savings, and then it's taken from her. She's not charged with a crime. Give us the details of what happened.
Yeah, so the retiree is actually a gentleman named Terry Rowland, who is a retired railroad engineer, grew up in Pittsburgh, lived there most of his life, and retired there. And his parents lived through the Great Depression, and because of that, they didn't trust banks very much. So they took to taking cash and hiding it away in the basement of the house. And Terry adopted that same practice, just following what his parents did, and managed to hoard about $80,000 over the course of his life. And recently he's been, suffering from a variety of medical issues and decided, you know, this old family house is just too much to keep up. I need to move into a smaller place. When he did that, he realized he didn't really want to have $80,000 hidden in a one-bedroom apartment. So we asked his daughter, Rebecca, who lives in the Boston area, to take the money and open a joint banking account that they could both use. And she would have power of attorney, and he needed to replace his teeth. He needed to fix his truck. He needed a variety of things done, and he realized he wasn't really competent to do that stuff anymore. So Rebecca agreed to do it, but she was only there visiting for the weekend and didn't have time to visit a bank and deposit the cash. So she checked online and made sure that it was legal to travel with a large amount of cash and found out that it was. TSA website says so. And so on Monday morning, when she was headed back to Boston on an early flight, she took the money with her. And as she was going through TSA security, they pulled her bag aside and they said, hey, you know, there's something in here. And she said, yeah, that's my dad's life savings. I'm taking it to go deposit in a bank. Well, she got interrogated by TSA and then by Pennsylvania State Troopers, and then ultimately by a DEA agent who seized all of the money. And now the DEA is trying to take Terry's life savings through civil forfeiture.
This is so infuriating. Essentially, now she received a notice from the government, the DEA, that they intend to permanently keep the money using civil forfeiture. Of course, a process that allows law enforcement to take money without convicting anyone of a crime. Did they charge her with anything?
No, she wasn't charged. She wasn't arrested. Terry wasn't charged or arrested. They didn't even have probable cause for the seizure. They did it based solely on the fact that there was a large amount of money in her luggage. And that's unconstitutional. The Fourth Amendment requires either a warrant or at least probable cause to seize someone's property. Neither TSA nor DEA had probable cause. They did it based on policies that if someone is traveling with more than $10,000, TSA will hold their luggage and call over law enforcement to investigate it. And DEA has a policy that if someone is traveling with more than $5,000 at an airport, they consider that suspicious in and of itself and will seize it based on that. But that is not the law. That is not what the Constitution allows. And we've sued both agencies over these practices nationwide at all airports across the country for seizing cash following these policies.
Dan Albin's with me. He's a senior attorney with the Institute for Justice. They litigate cutting-edge constitutional cases, and Dan himself has secured numerous court victories in federal and state courts for victims of civil forfeiture, property owners fighting eminent domain abuse, and entrepreneurs challenging occupational licensing, which we could also talk about that. But this civil forfeiture thing is insane, and I got to ask the question then. I mean, what was their reasonable suspicion to believe that she might have done something with the money to buy drugs or something like that? I mean, did she have pills with her? Did she smell of marijuana? I mean, do they have any basis whatsoever to say we have to seize this cash?
No, they had nothing. The sole basis for the seizure is she was traveling through an airport with cash. And that is not a reasonable suspicion. That is not probable cause. That is simply not a constitutional basis for seizing someone's property. But unfortunately, we know that this is going on all across the country at airports every day. TSA, when someone's luggage goes through the X-ray, they see the cash in the bag, they pull it aside, and then they call law enforcement. And often that law enforcement is DEA, but sometimes it's other agencies. And we're trying to put a stop to it. So that's why we brought this case as a class action lawsuit. So we're not just representing Terry and Rebecca, but we're also representing anyone nationwide who's traveling through the airport with enough cash that TSA or DEA would pull them aside and seize their cash.
All right, so it's a class action lawsuit. So if anybody's been affected by this, what's the best way to reach out to you guys then?
We'd love for them to contact us. We have a webpage about where people can come and submit their information. They should just Google IJ, contact us, and they'll go to our contact us page where they can fill out a form. They can also send an email to seizure@ij.org, S-E-I-Z-U-R-E at ij.org, or they can contact us and ask for our forfeiture intake coordinator, Adam Linthicum, who is a full-time employee at IJ who helps us sort through all the people nationwide who contact us about these problems, because civil forfeiture is not, something that is, just happening at the Pittsburgh airport. It's happening everywhere. And we get dozens of calls each week about problems that people are having all over the country.
And I want to say, the Institute for Justice has done incredible work in fighting the civil asset forfeiture, completely unconstitutional. And again, it's not criminal forfeiture, it's civil forfeiture. It's totally different. You did great work in Philadelphia, and you were able to get the city to give back a lot of money to people who they took money from, and homes and cars and that sort of thing. You've done great work with that. So I really hope that the United States Supreme Court will rule on this. I hope it gets that far. I hope that we can find it. It seems like some of the justices are leaning towards acknowledging the unconstitutionality of this, but we need to have a case be officially heard, I guess, right?
Thank you. Yeah, we do, too. And there was a case heard last year, one of our cases, Tim's v. Indiana, that was about whether the excessive fines clause applies to the states in the context of civil forfeiture. And in that case, Indiana had seized a Land Rover from someone who from a gentleman named Tyson Timms, who had been convicted of dealing a very small amount of drugs. But the state of Indiana was trying to seize a $40-some-thousand Land Rover that he had, it was just his car. He had driven it to and from the site of the sale. And they said, oh, this is an instrumentality of drug trafficking. It was just his car. And the Supreme Court ruled unanimously, yes, the excessive fines clause does apply to the states. So that was one recent example of getting a case before the court. But we continue to bring forfeiture cases. We just filed a case yesterday in Detroit challenging their practices of seizing people's vehicles and holding them for ransom, essentially making people pay large amounts of money to get them back, even though, these people aren't even accused of a crime. So one of these cases, I think, will eventually make it up to the Supreme Court. It's probably going to take several cases, not just one big Hail Mary case. You have to sort of, legal change is incremental. It's slow. And so, we want to attack civil forfeiture on a bunch of different fronts. We're doing that. And eventually some of these cases will percolate up to the Supreme Court.
Dan Albin, senior attorney with the Institute for Justice. Keep up the good fight for the Constitution. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.